I tell you, there's a lot of folks crying foul with this indictment of former President Donald Trump. What does it mean for the political landscape for not just Republicans, but also Democrats? Professor David Schultz, political science professor at Hamline University, is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Professor Schultz, I tell you, you cannot watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, any of the national networks without this being the dominant story. You know, talk to me about the fallout. It hasn't even happened yet, and already folks are taking polls about, you know, who's going to be the best presidential candidate for the Republicans. Is this it for Trump? Has a Teflon Don finally met his match? What is going on?
A lot of things are going on, but the first thing I'm going to say is what I think is really amazing is everybody has judged this case, and guess what? We don't even know what the charges are yet. We're all speculating at this point. I was this morning at the gym, you know, I came for a CNN on and looking at all the different shows, and yeah. People are either condemning it or praising it, and I'm saying none of us know what the indictment is. We're not going to know until, what is it, Tuesday at 2:15 or something like that. So right off the bat, this is just all spec. I mean, the merits of the case is totally, totally speculative. All right. So having said that, you're right. The other issue is the political fallout. And here's sort of my sense is that everybody is still speculating, is that we don't have any polls that predict the future. We don't have any hard data on this. But if you had to make a guess, remember a long time ago, Donald Trump said something like what? He could pull out a gun and was at Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and he wouldn't lose any support. His supporters won't care. His supporters are not going to care on this one. And I think he is totally aiming for, at this point, just getting the nomination. And since he still has the dominant group of voters in the Republican Party, it probably helps him there. But I can't imagine, unless I'm wrong, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, I can't imagine in an indictment helps him in a general election.
But will it keep him from running? See, this is what I need you here to help me understand. Is this it? I mean, if he gets this indictment, can he run? I know there's some rules for being president. Like, you got to be a certain age. You got to, you know, be born in the United States of America. An indictment, will that stop him from getting the job? Because, hey, Professor Schultz, I can't have a felony and work at a daycare. Can you have an indictment against you and have a misdemeanor or felony and be president of the United States of America?
Well, you can certainly run for president of the United States if you've been indicted. You can certainly run even if you've been convicted of a felony. And the example that we have is in 1912, Eugene Debs was convicted. Well, he was a convicted felon running as a socialist. He was serving in the federal penitentiary, and he got 1 million votes. So he could. So Trump, even if convicted, could run. Now, here is the interesting question, though, is that what if he's a convicted felon in prison and he gets elected? Can he serve as president? Well, intuitively, the answer is no. As you said, if you were convicted of a felon, you'd be stripped of your voting rights, your rights to run for office. You couldn't do any of this. However, and so the correct answer should be that Trump, if convicted, shouldn't be able to serve as president. But we don't have a clear constitutional answer to that question because what? The Constitution says what? You have to be 35, born in the United States, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Does that prevent a felon, a current felon, assuming he was indicted, convicted, and put in prison, does that prevent him from serving? We don't have a clear answer on that.
Okay, that is just bananas to me, Professor Schultz. I know people who are felons who can't get a job at a hospital pushing elderly people around in wheelchairs. They cannot get a job at a bank, even if they have served their time and promised that they are on the straight and narrow. I know felons who have degrees, who have come out of college and had to work at Taco Bell or Burger King because they can't get a job in their chosen field because they have a felony record. You got felons who can't vote, and you telling me that a felon can run for president when a felon can't vote?
Unfortunately, that's the answer, yes, at this point. And this speaks to a myth. You know, there's this myth. Outside the Supreme Court building, there's like, what, you know, the phrase up on the top of the building that says equal justice for all. That's one of our great myths in our society.
I mean, oh, we knew that wasn't the truth. Yeah, we black people been knowing that. That is like, that's laughable.
Of course. So now think about Tuesday. Trump's is voluntarily surrendering for him. They're going to give him a special rear entrance to the courthouse to walk through, to appear in, et cetera, like that. I doubt he's even going to have to wear an orange jumpsuit. If it were an average person, and let's be really blunt, if it were somebody who's black, do you think they're going to give him fair warning? Do you think they're not going to handcuff him? Do you think they're not going to do all that stuff? Of course not. This is what? The privilege of being white, or the privilege of being, what, rich. He gets to do certain things that the rest of us don't get to do.
And that is not fair.
I agree.
I mean, you can say a lot of stuff about it, but it is absolutely not fair. Like you talked about, there's no warning. I wish Breonna Taylor had gotten a warning.
Mm-hmm,
You know, there are so many instances that we can look at where people did not get a warning. They did not get a heads up. Here they are spending tens of thousands of dollars, man hours and resources to come up with an indictment. And we got the date, time and location, what door he's going to decide to walk in and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, I've never heard of anything like this in my life. And this speaks to how our system of justice is not blind. They might as well take the blindfold off the little lady statue and take the scales down, because it's not even, it's not blind, and it's not fair.
You're right. And think about also what's happened over the years. I mean, we have a litany of stories of they call them Teflon Don, of things that he's gotten away with that the rest of us couldn't have gotten away with, in terms of taxes, or in terms of like running shady, you know, businesses, in terms of, and he's had to make restitution on these, like Trump University or some of his other Trump adventures like that. I mean, he has literally been able to get away with things. And just think about, again, we're not going to repeat the language on the air, but remember back in 16 where he made references to grabbing women by their private parts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has gotten away with saying things that I'm hoping that most of the rest of us would pay dearly for. If I said something like that, I certainly hope, you know, hell would rain down upon me or something like that. So again, this speaks to exactly that dual system of justice, or dual system of injustice, whatever way we want to describe it. And just maybe, there's a little of an inkling out here that maybe justice is going to finally prevail. If not here, maybe it's going to be in Georgia, if a grand jury actually has indicted him for trying to influence the election, or two investigations at the federal level, one about the documents at Mar-a-Lago, one about January 6th. And then there's also another investigation in Westchester County, New York, all about tax fraud. And then I can't even tell you how many suits there are being brought against him by women who've claimed that he sexually harassed them. Maybe if a God exists in the universe, some justice is starting to occur.
That's the prayer. That's the hope, that he is held accountable just like anybody else who would have these charges levied against them. Mm-hmm. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to talk more with Professor David Schultz when we come back. Professor David Schultz and I are having an amazing conversation. I had to go during the break, Professor Schultz, and get my blood pressure cuff, because you have run my blood pressure up with all this political talk. You know, it was kind of quiet for a minute. You know, it kind of, you know, we just, you know, it was really bananas for a long time. And then, you know, we got a little peace and quiet, just a little bit, you know, when everybody got blocked on Twitter and then Elon mm-hmm. Musk took over. And, you know, then we started having rallies again. And then, you know, I had to strengthen my blood pressure medication. Now, you really have your finger on the pulse of the political landscape, not just locally, but nationwide. You know, when these rallies start happening, like the one in Waco, and, you know, hundreds of folks are showing up, and, you know, we see it on the news, and it is front and center, you know, on every television station nationally across the globe. You know, the landscape, everything changes. You know, what changes have you seen since former President Trump has come on the scene and started kicking his new, you know, campaign, you know, kind of, if you will, he's, you know, initiating, you know, the campaign trail. How has the landscape changed for everybody?
Well, a couple things. Let's go back to 2016, and then when he became president, is one of the things. I mean, when 2016, he was not that he was subtle, but compared to where he is today, he was not as, let us say, cutting and out front with the white supremacists as he seems to be now. I mean, once Charlottesville happened a few years ago, you know, I mean, where, you know, where statements came out there where he basically said, well, you know, both sides are to be the blame, or both sides have legitimate arguments, or like that. That's when it really became clear he was throwing his lot in, you know, with the white supremacists. And what I've seen, and you probably have seen the same thing too, is I'm not sure what the word is, coarser or uglier, how American politics has become, where people who I used to describe as saying fringe, who are fringe, have now been given not just their 15 minutes of fame, but are now being treated as mainstream. And that's what I see now is this what I got to call it, the normalizing of hate again, that I thought we were a better society about, and we're clearly not.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember seeing a change at the network level, because I'm a news person, and so I know people in news. And you know, when Barack Obama was president, they had hired so many African-American male and female political analysts, you know, because they wanted somebody connected to the White House and connected to the culture and connected to the lived experience of Barack and Michelle Obama to give that perspective. And then, you know, when President Trump was elected to office, those black and brown faces began to disappear from the major networks, and they were replaced with, like you said, the outliers, the fringe folks, who do have access to the new president. And I understand that some of that turnover has to happen, but it was so glaring and so obvious and so sweeping, and these people were given a platform, you know, without the experience and the expertise of the normal news political analyst. They were thrown into a situation where they got the light, they got the microphone, they got shows, they've got, you know, podcasts, they've got radio broadcasts, you know, and they're giving a platform when they were just, you know, months ago on CB radio.
You're right. And also what they were given now is legitimacy for lying. And this is, and it's slightly different topic here, you know, but what I'm watching carefully now too is the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News. And if you've been following this for the last few weeks, you know, for the last few years, you know, what we're learning is that Fox knew that the election was not stolen in 2020. It knew that what Trump was saying was lying, but it repeated them. Why? Because it wanted to do so to cater to its audience, not to do what the media is supposed to do. I mean, you're a journalist. Your job, and you know this, your job is to tell people what the truth is, not to tell them what they want to hear. And this is what scares me now too, is that lying has been legitimized at this point. Is that you take Trump? You know, what was it the Washington Post said? What 10,000 lies or something like that while he was president of the United States? I can't remember what the exact number is, but it's like we're also putting people on television, on radio, who just lie with abandon at this point. And then CNNs of the world will say, well, we're going to be fair and balanced. Well, no, fair and balanced is not putting a liar on and letting that person lie. That's not fair.
And, you know, it's just, you know, I'm just, I'm just hopeful that any kind of decency that we have ground that we have gained over the past couple of years will continue. Now, I want to switch gears here, and I want to get your opinion on something, because this has been bothering me, and I have been talking to political experts about it. And sometimes they understand where I'm coming from, and sometimes we have to have a healthy debate about this. But I really do not appreciate the way President Biden has been handling Vice President Kamala Harris. I don't appreciate the assignments that she's been given. And for me, Professor Schultz, it reminds me of any time an African-American woman is given a position but not an opportunity. You know, we've all seen it. We've all been there where they say, okay, you can have this job. Congratulations, you have been selected. Now go sit in your office and close the door and write blog posts. Or we're going to send you to Africa for a month where all hell is breaking loose in the United States of America. And I just believe, Professor Schultz, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, that he is giving her these horrible assignments and responsibilities because he does not want her to outshine him, so that when it comes time for re-election, somebody doesn't put their finger in the air and say, well, why doesn't she run instead?
Well, I think you make a lot of good points here. The fact that she's been stuck with, like, you know, dealing with a border crisis that requires far more than what her or the president can do. This requires work from Congress, et cetera, et cetera. No, I agree. I mean, you look at her in terms of her credentials. I mean, you don't get so many people with better credentials than her to be vice president of the United States, senator, attorney general, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, an incredibly talented person who I always thought, you know, a few years ago, I said, she's likely the 2024 Democratic nominee. And so yes. I agree with you. To use two different terms here, either she was the token, or what's happening now, and again, a term you'll appreciate here, I think she's being ghettoized myself.
Now, see, you got to tell me what you mean by that. Break it down.
What I mean by that, she's the token. So she's the token black person in the administration. When I say ghettoized, she's basically being marginalized. She's being sort of, you know, pushed away from everybody else, and they're all distancing themselves from him. That's what I mean by ghettoized.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Now, is anybody else saying this? Are you hearing this? Because, I mean, what can be done? It's like they setting this woman up for failure.
No, that's an interesting part, because you look at it at this point, public opinion polls don't like her, or at least the mainstream media is framing her, you know, as what, incompetent or not able to do her job, et cetera, like that. I mean, this might be part of what we were talking about before break, just in terms of how since the Obamas left office, went through Trump and so forth, persons of color are being depicted, you know, in certain ways. And she's certainly not getting a good framing for what she's doing or what she represents or the work she's supposed to be doing.
No, she is not. And it is not fair. And I feel the sorriest for her and her team. When I saw her in Africa with her husband, and the assignment that she was on, when there are so many things happening over here where we can use her leadership and her expertise, I just about fell out in the floor. I had to turn the TV off. I was so freaking pissed off that she's over there getting flowers. And you know, basically, to me, they're treating her like she's a first lady, like she doesn't have any authority. Like they've got her over here on these assignments that they know, number one, is not her brand. It's not. That's like putting a sports reporter on the weather. Okay, I only know news, so I can only do you some news analogies. You're not gonna have Mike Max doing the weather. Nobody's gonna watch that. He doesn't have the authority to do it. It's not his skill set. He doesn't have that background. He does sports. That's what Mike Max does. Mike Max comes out. He talks about sports. Everybody listens because they knows what he knows what the hell he's talking about. We got tornadoes. We got snowstorms. We got all kinds of kids are killing each other in the school. The border is out of control. And you mean to tell me that you think it'd be a good idea to send our brightest and best vice president to Africa to talk about climate change? We have some real serious stuff going on over here that is not on the bingo card right now.
I think you said it well. I think you said it well.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to have to take a break. I thank you for being here, but I'm going to make me a drink and take my blood pressure medication, Professor David Schultz, because talking to you has sent my pressure through the roof tonight.
All right, good. Calm down, and hopefully we can do the show. We can do the show again someday. We'll talk later.
All right, have a good night and a great week.